Church, I'm excited to be in the house of the Lord once again. Amen. The Lord has brought us 37 days since the last communion. And if it's something that I know, it's to come into the house of the Lord and partake of the Lord's Supper once again. I just want to take a moment to say good morning and welcome to Taylor Tabernacle Live. Welcome to the Taylor family and all our friends joining through Facebook and YouTube Live. We are streaming from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, where Elder Jonathan E. Ford is the pastor. Amen. I'll invite you to stand with me this morning. We're going to be reading 1 John, the first chapter, and verse 8 and 9. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. So say amen when you have it. Say hold up if you need a minute. Amen. First John, the first chapter, verse 8 and 9. I see it. Amen. And the word says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. Amen. So join with me as we go to prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we come to you this morning, God, another Lord's Day, God, just to come to bless and magnify you, God, for all that you have done for us, Lord. God, you haven't counted it robbery, God, to just wake us up another morning, to give us strength in our limbs, to give us breath in our lungs, to put us in our right mind, God, so that we can come into your house and give you all the praise and all the glory, God. Father God, we bless your holy and mighty name, God, for who you are and what you're doing in the midst, God. Father, we need you like never before, God, and we ask that you will come like the rain, God. Come and hover, God, over this area, God. Deliver this city from violence, God. Deliver this city from all the sins that's taken place, God. And help it to be a city for your namesake, God. Lord Jesus, we invite your presence in this place, God. We ask, Lord, that you will visit us again. We ask, Lord, for your mighty presence, God. We ask you, Lord Jesus, to minister to us, God. Minister to the hurting places, God. Hurting to the places where we need you most, God. Minister to us, God, in the places that we try to cover up and dance over, God. And cleanse us from the inside out, God. For your namesake, God. Father, we pray all these things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just take a moment to thank you. Just say thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Just say thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. For another day. Hallelujah. God, we pray all these things in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And I'm going to invite us all to keep standing on your feet as praise and worship comes, as they usher us into praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Keep praising them, church. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord, church. Praise the Lord, church.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And so this morning we are going to be singing an oldie but a goodie. So we ask that you all please join us. Amen.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a
prepare ourselves for communion. Our pastor is coming out, and it's just a time to get your communion cups, to get everything ready if you didn't get it when you came in. It's out in the vestibule, so if you need your communion cups, just you can lift your hand, and our usher will get it for you. Amen. 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 As we wait for our pastor, let's just take a moment to think on the Lord's goodness. Just think about what he's done for us. Amen. Thank you.
Come on, let's lift our voices from the rising. To the going down of the same. Jesus is worthy. He's worthy. Jesus is worthy to be praised. Why don't you? Why don't you? Is he precious? Oh, he's worthy. Be thank God, thank God, thank God, thank God. It's another Communion Sunday. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to invite you to go with me to Mark, the 14th chapter. I'm going to be looking at the verses 1 and 2. And also 10 and 11. The Gospel of St. Mark, the 14th chapter, verses 1 and 2, and then also 10 and 11. Staying in that same book, we're also going to add to the witness out of the 3rd chapter, beginning at verse 13. What a great joy to see Sister Marcia in church. Amen. Thank God for Jesus, right? Thank God for Jesus. What a real pleasure to see all of you out on this Sunday morning. What a joy for me personally to be back in the house of God after some time away. Thank God for all of you who are out this morning for our corporate prayer. Thank God for your faithfulness. Continuing to pray with and for the church. Thank you to all of those that are here today, both in the sanctuary and joining us virtually, for your presence and your participation. Before we get into the Word of God, I do want to thank all of the brothers who went to the Phillies game a couple of weeks ago. Thank God for your participation and fellowship. What a great time we had together. So if you have it, the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 14, again, verses 1 and 2, we're going to drop down, we're going to do 10 and 11, and then we'll add to the witness out of that same Gospel, out of the third verse. Amen? I'm going to be reading out of the New King James Version. I'm going to ask that you follow along with me. It says, after 2 days, it was the Passover. And also the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by trickery and put him to death. But they said, not during the feast, lest there be an uproar of the people. Dropping down to verse 10, it says, then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priests to betray him to them. And when they heard it, they were glad, and they promised to give him money. And so he sought how he might conveniently betray him. Amen. Now just add to the witness out of the 3rd chapter, in verse 13, since he went up on the mountain, and called to him those he himself wanted. And they came to him. And then he appointed 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach, that they also might possess power to heal sickness and to cast out demons. Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, to whom he gave the name Barjones, and that is sons of thunder, Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, and Thomas, and James of the son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, and Simon the Canaanite. Verse 19 says, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. Okay? Jumping back up to verse 13, and he went up on a mountain, and he called to him those he wanted, right? And he called 12, right? With the few moments I have this Sunday morning, I want to preach from the message, God chooses your betrayer. God does that, not the devil. Are you with me? I gave you the sermon. It's there. I don't even have to preach it. The text says what? He went up on a high mountain and called to him those he himself wanted. Nobody forced Judas on him. Judas didn't sneak his way in the crowd. God chose him. And Mark said what? Knowing he would betray him. Right? That's the message this Sunday. God chooses your betrayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed and holy is your name. We thank you that you sit high and you look low. We thank you that your arm of mercy is both long and strong. Thank you that your heart is full of forgiveness. And without it, where would we be? And so this Sunday morning, we lift our heart, we lift our mind, and we give our full attention to the Word of God. Knowing that there's no other source of greater strength, wisdom, comfort, confidence than the Word of God. So Lord, we ask that you would open our eyes, that seeing we might be able to really see. We ask that you would anoint our ears so that in hearing we could really hear. Lord, and above all, strengthen our heart that we might seek the forgiveness of our sins. Lord, and give us the courage to forgive those that trespass against us. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the people of God. We thank you for the name of God. For it is to us a strong tower, and we run into it, and there we are safe. All the people of God say amen, amen, and amen again. You may be seated all over the sanctuary. I'm not sure what's going on with our big clock on the wall, but it doesn't seem to be accurate. So I'm going to need somebody to give me a time check. That's the time it is now, 10:20. So, all right, so I'm going to try to do it in 20 minutes. So let me know when it's 10:30, and let me know when it's 10:40. Amen? Betrayal, especially when by a close friend or a family member, is quite devastating. When we face betrayal, we may encounter feelings of anger, disbelief, sadness, and often great pain. It tears our heart apart and oftentimes may change us permanently because we may never trust people again. Betrayal, especially by a close friend or family member, is often quite devastating. When we face betrayal, we encounter feelings of anger, disbelief, sadness, and great pain. It tears our heart apart and may change us permanently because we may never trust people again. Is there a witness anywhere in the house of God? Mark 14 says, after 2 days, it was the Passover and also the Feast of Unleavened Bread. It was during this time that the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him, meaning Jesus, by trickery and put him to death. Okay? The Passover commemorated the passing over, if you will, of the homes of the Israelites by the death angel. The death angel who killed the firstborn of Egypt and included the slaying of the Passover lamb. So it was a celebration that looked back to when the death angel came to the land of Egypt. Because of the blood that was on their doorpost, the death angel passed over them, but visited the homes without the blood, which were the Egyptians. And as a part of this commemoration, for centuries afterwards, they would slay the lamb, a Passover lamb, to remember this historical event in their nation. The Feast of Unleavened Bread, it commemorated the departure of the Israelites from Egypt and their escape from slavery and bondage. And at the time of Jesus, these feasts were often, they often came together. They would start the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and then in that they would have the Passover celebration where they would slay the lamb, and like we do during Holy Week, they would have the Passover celebration to remember how the death angel passed over. And this feast, as you know, was one of the three great feasts that required all Jews to return to Jerusalem to celebrate, to worship, and to make sacrifice to the Lord, Jehovah, for his great deliverance and his saving power. Right? One of the great feasts, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. One of the great celebrations, the Feast of Passover. And despite at this time of Mark's account going back to the Passion Week of Jesus, despite this being a time of great joy and a time of great celebration, a time of great worship, it was a holy time. Entire families came back to Jerusalem. So it was a very happy time. Theologians record that at this time in Jerusalem, the population of Hebrews would swell into the millions because so many came back for this great celebration and feast. And so you had a great time of worship, a great time of sacrifice, a great a time of joy and fellowship and happiness. And Mark tells us that right in the middle of this kind of religious celebration, right in the midst of this type of family reunion, if you will, Mark records for us that it was during this time that the religious leaders sought to kill Jesus. Isn't it funny how when your heart is set to do good, how evil can still be present? Even in the midst of a worship service, even in the midst of a religious celebration, yet evil can be present. Thinking about the massacre that occurred at the Jewish temple in Pittsburgh years ago. It occurred when? At a time of celebration, at a time of worship, where as a nation, as a people, they were coming to their synagogue to worship God. And in the midst of that, mass murder. In the midst of that, evil was still present. Are you with me this Sunday? That's why Peter warns us in 1 Peter 5:8. He says to be sober. He encourages this church to be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. How many of you know we have an adversary that is after us? Because we have applied the blood of Jesus Christ to our heart and live under the banner of the Lord Jehovah, we have become the adversary of the enemy. John 10:10 tells us that the thief comes not except to steal, kill, and destroy. Despite of all the good that Jesus had done, healing the sick, giving sight to the blind, strength to the paralyzed, and even raising people from the dead, they still wanted to kill him. Am I right about it? If you know I'm right about it, say amen to that. Then why are you surprised? In spite of all the good you do, helping family, supporting friends, making ways for those who are unable to make ways for. Why are you surprised? I wish I had my real church. Why are you surprised when your adversary comes against you? Jesus said, as I have suffered in the flesh, he said, arm yourself likewise. Why would he give us that kind of warning? Could it be that he knew what would befall him would also befall us? Are you with me this Sunday? People still want to steal from you. People still want to try to kill you. People still want to try to destroy your name. Destroy your name. That means to destroy anybody connected to you. So if they can't get the assault on you, they'll go to someone close to you. Are you with me this Sunday? Here it is. Verse 10. So you have time of worship, time of celebration. It's a holy time. It's a happy time. All of the Hebrew people have come into the holy city of David. And there's great joy. Great joy is in the city. Great worship is happening in the temple compound. And then Mark tells us that in verse 10, then came Judas Iscariot. In the midst of the celebration, against the backdrop of the religious leaders wanting to kill Jesus, not yet knowing how, the only thing they knew is that they couldn't do it this week. We got to wait till next week. We can't be killing Jesus during the Passover celebration. With all these Hebrews and so many coming from Galilee, if we were to take Jesus' life now, there could be rioting in the streets. So we don't know how we're going to do it, but we know we're not going to do it this week. We're going to let some things pass and let some of this multitude leave and exit out of Jerusalem. And against that backdrop, Mark tells us that then came Judas Iscariot. I put in my notes, who is Judas Iscariot? And I got all these good notes. The son of Coriath. He's from southern Judea. Theologians tell us he was not a Galilean like the majority of the other disciples. But we know that there was something different about Judas, right? But in spite of that, we have the witness in Mark 3 where it says, Jesus went up on the mountain. And on that mountain, he called to himself those he wanted. Right? Here's the church. Here's the sermon, church. God chooses your betrayer. One, not you. Because if it was left up to us, we would never pick anybody. Right? Why? Because no one wants to be betrayed. No one wants hurt and harm and damage. No one wants that. No one chooses that. Also, to stop you from going to answer B, it's not the devil. I want you to understand that God sits and rules sovereignly. That means he is above everything that is happening, not only in this world, but also in your life. We serve a God that neither slumbers nor sleeps. That means he is awoke and aware to every dilemma and problem and situation that is affecting your life. Are you with me this Sunday? I know it's not a happy, happy, joy, joy message, but I think if I could get this point across and we understand that God chooses our betrayer. And because God chooses them, then God must have a plan to bring about good somehow in my life. Do you trust the wisdom of God? Well, we'll see. We'll see. He called to himself he wanted. And he appointed 12. Right? He appointed 12, meaning he appointed Judas to a position in the inner circle. He appointed Judas to sit on his deacon board. He even appointed Judas to preach his gospel. Look what the witness says. And he gave them power. that they might go out and preach. Tell somebody that included Judas. And he gave them his message that Christ was the Messiah. That included Judas. And they had power to heal people of sickness. That included Judas. They had power to give people salvation as they believed in Christ. And that included Judas. Why? He was one of the 12. Here it is. So he also chose Judas Iscariot. And just like he chose Peter to be the leader of the new revival, just like he chose James and John to be the sons of thunder, just like he chose Matthew, who was a tax collector, the worst job to have in Jerusalem, yet God chose him. He chose Luke, the great physician, and others he also chose. Thaddeus, he chose Philip, he chose Bartholomew, but he also chose Judas, the son of Iscariot. He chose his own betrayer. Here it is. Here it is. It's 12:40. I gotta nosedive it. Here it is. This is what the proverb tells us. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding. I must admit I was confused. Why would Jesus choose his own betrayer? He says, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Even when God chooses your betrayer, he also chooses your blessing. Even when God chooses your betrayer, he also chooses your breakthrough, because God is greater. God is better. God is stronger than my betrayer. Somebody shout yes. Here it is, church. Let me end it like this. We must learn to trust the Lord to choose our family. Stop complaining about your family, because God chooses your family. Not you, not the devil, not what happened to you. God chooses your family. Every chance you get, thank God for your family. Lord, I thank you for my parents. Lord, I thank you for my siblings. They may not be what I want them to be, but I thank you for choosing them for me. I would have made a bad choice. I would. Whatever. Look at somebody and tell them God chooses your family. And if you trust him, he'll also choose your friends, family, you don't have a choice. But friends, you do. How many witnesses do I have when in your life you made a bad choice over your friends? You thought they were buddies, pals, homies, But if you trust the Lord God, He will choose your... Whatever. He'll choose your family. If you let Him, He'll choose your friends. Friends. How many of us have them? Look at somebody and say, He's preaching now. Pastor, preaching this Sunday. But a real friend is determined when you're in a real jam, a real circumstance, a real bind. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ, He's closer than a brother, and He will be your friend. Somebody give the Lord a praise. But He also chooses our betrayer. Lord, how can I trust You for my family? How can I trust You for my friends? It's the same way you gotta trust Him for your betrayer, because God knows the way that I take. God knows what He has in store for me, and He chooses a betrayer that'll push you into the will of God. Your betrayer will bless you more than any of your friends. Your betrayer will do more good than any in your family. Betrayers push you into the will of God. Somebody shout yes. He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways like unto your ways. He says, even as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways and so are my thoughts above your thoughts. So what does that mean? It means we can trust Him to choose for us. Because His wisdom is greater. We can trust Him to choose for us. Because His love is a whole lot stronger. We can trust Him to choose for us. Because His power is unlimited. We can trust God to choose for us family members, friends, even our betrayer, because His mercy is everlasting. Look at somebody and say, let God choose. Come on, get them told. Say, let God choose. Let Him choose your parents. Let Him choose your grandparents. Let Him choose your spouse. Got quiet on that one. Let's skip over. Look at somebody say, skip over that, Pastor. I need to have some say in that one. But I'm just trying to tell you, if you let Him choose, He won't fail you. If you let Him choose, He won't let you down. If you let God choose. Here it is. Get this. I'm finished with it. Here it is. Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, handpicked by Jesus, his own betrayer, went to the chief priest to betray Him. Here it is, verse 11. Are you looking at verse 11? They said, Mark said, when they heard it, they were glad. I told you in verse 1 and 2, they knew they wanted to kill him, but they didn't know how. So Judas, the betrayer, becomes an answer to their prayers against you. Are you following me on that? They wanted to kill Jesus, but didn't know how. And then along comes Judas Iscariot. Coming to, they didn't go to Judas. A lot of people get the story wrong. Like they should, No. They didn't seek Judas out. Judas sought them out. Because in seeking them out, the betrayer revealed who he really was. When you confront people with Jesus, they reveal who they really are. Judas had finally had enough. Overtaken by greed, overtaken by pride. Said, I can't take it anymore. Your betrayer may be a family member. Your betrayer may be a good friend. A girlfriend, a buddy, someone close, a best man. I'm just here to tell you, as long as you live for Jesus in time, they'll reveal themselves. You don't have to pray about it. You don't have to ask God about it. All you got to do is live the light. Just let the light shine. People who are against Christ are against the light. So when they see the light, what do most people do when they see the light? I don't want that. It's too bright. Turn those lights off. It's too bright in here. I'm more comfortable in the dark. Because in the dark, you can't tell who your betrayer really is. I'm going to work it out next Sunday. Tell you this Sunday, God chooses your betrayer. If you come back next Sunday, I'm going to preach how God uses the betrayer. God uses it, not the devil, not your best friend, not your people. They don't use it. They don't get over on you. Why? Because God uses the betrayer. Right? The Bible tells us that what? That the devil what? Meant it for evil. But what? God used it. And he made it good. Why go through all this? Why? Because I want you to trust God when he chooses your betrayer. One, I want you to, let's on count of three, everybody take a deep breath. One, two, three. Let it out. You got to get over the fact that you will have, it's a part of life. You can't avoid it. Doesn't matter how nice you are. Doesn't matter how cute you are. Doesn't matter how helpful you are to everybody else. Every child of God is assigned by God a betrayer. It comes with the package. Jesus didn't choose 12 randomly. He chose the 12 God his Father told him to choose. And before he left heaven, the Father told him, he said, son, don't forget about Judas. He's just as important to what you're going to do in my name as Peter, James, John. You need him too. Because without the betrayal, there's no cross, no crucifixion. No cross, no crucifixion, no death, then no resurrection. It's your betrayer that pushes you there. So take comfort. Let me get out of this. When they heard it, they were glad. I'm just going to say this. I'm going to leave it alone. Don't be surprised when people rejoice over your failure. Their rejoicing is yet another sign they never really loved you in the first place. When they can take joy in seeing you down, when they can hear about what you're going through and roll over and keep on sleeping, they said when they heard it, they were glad. They took joy, not only in the downfall of Jesus, but they took joy in the betrayal of Judas. Who rejoices over a murderer? Who rejoices over a thief? Who rejoices over a rapist? Who does that? Those that are against Christ. And by extension, they're against you. Mark said when they heard it, they were glad. Not everyone is happy for your success. There are some people who are rooting for and even planning for your demise. But church, be encouraged. Your enemies will not have the last laugh in your life. Do you believe that? I know it's a big pill to swallow to understand that you make your betrayer maybe living in your own house. I know it's tough to swallow that your betrayer may be in your fraternity or sorority. I know you would never imagine that. I know you would never picture someone from around the way, not where we grew up, being the very one that turns out to be your worst enemy. I'm closing with this. This is what David said. He said, yea, though I walk, you know the story, through the valley of the shadow of death. He said, yet I'll fear. When you're being betrayed, if it hasn't happened yet, let me clue you in. It is like the valley of the shadow. Matter, some people equate it to being worse than death. That's what it feels like when someone betrays your confidence, betrays your intimate secrets, when someone betrays your shortcomings and puts it out on public display. It's as if I'm walking through the valley. What in the world can be worse than this? How can my life go any further down than what it already is? David said, I'll fear no evil. David had enough trouble for all of us. David could give us each some of his trouble and still have trouble left over. But he had learned, David had learned through his trouble. He said, I will not fear. He said, this is what I know, for thou art with me. Says your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Here's your praise point, church. Here it is. David said of his shepherd, you prepare a table in the very presence of my enemies. Do you see the imagery there? Your enemies are all around. You got betrayers on every side. And all God does is this: come, sit, and eat. Don't you worry about them. Let me handle them. I'm your rod. I'm your staff. What I want you to do is learn how to sit down and eat. Eat in the presence of your enemies. Learn how to eat in the presence of your... You got to eat dinner with your betrayer and still love Jesus. You got to learn to eat dinner with your betrayer even while they're taking money out of the account. You got to learn to trust God with your enemies even while they betray you. How do you do it? You learn to come to the table. We used to have communion in the old church. Dr. Teller would make us come to the table. You had to come to the table, sit, and eat. That's how we did it in the old church. She would say, now depart and pray while others come. And I thank her for the example because it taught us something. That's what you got to learn to do in the face. Here it is. I'm done with it. The text says this: the same night that Jesus was betrayed, he did what? He took bread. The plot was going down. It was in motion. It was happening as he spoke. But right in the midst of the betrayal, the Bible said he took bread. That's why I'm trying to help you to learn how to sit and eat. You got to build up your faith to be strong enough that even when you're being betrayed, that you too can still take bread, break it, and bless it. Now here's the real kicker. He gave everybody bread, including Judas. I'm finished. Either you got it or you didn't. I can't do no more with it. But at the end of the day, I just want you to know God chooses your betrayer. Not you. Not your friends. Not your enemies. Jesus had enemies, but they didn't know how to kill him. But Jesus himself chose his own betrayer. Why preach that kind of message? Because it's the reality for everyone that names the name of Jesus Christ. Wish it wasn't the case. Wish it didn't go down like that. But for us to come into the place and in the perfect will of God, you need a betrayer. The damaging thing about a betrayer, and we'll work it out next week, for a betrayer to be a betrayer, they got to be close to you. If they're not close, they're not a betrayer. They're just an enemy. They're just someone who hates you. That's all that is. If you ain't used to that, then give up your Jesus card now. But betrayers are close. Betrayers They're there at the intimate times, the crossroads of your life. They're right there. And because they're there, you assume what? They're a friend. Because they're there in their family, you trust them. What I'm trying to get you to understand, church, I want you to learn to trust God more. And just live for Him. Let the light reveal who the betrayer really is. Now go the other way. Rewind and go the other way. This is another reason you got to trust God, Curve. Because some of you are going to take this message and you're going to apply it wrong. You're going to go home today and you're going to start scrolling through your phone, your social media accounts, and you're going to start looking at everyone and say, Pastor was right. There, the betrayer is right there. I knew it from the... You're going to apply it, but you're going to misapply it. You missed the whole sermon. God chooses. Not you. Listen, you and I can't choose our betrayer because we would get it wrong every time. That's why you just got to learn to sit and eat. It's not your job to know who they are. Not your job to know where they are. It's your job to submit your ways unto God. That's your job. That's your responsibility. And just let the light of Christ shine out. That's what reveals the real betrayer. Shall we all stand? Takes real courage. It takes real faith to allow God to show you who the real betrayer is. I'm here to tell you, Taylor, it's not who you think. Get out of the picking business, the choosing business. That's God's job. He knows what is best for you. Take it a step further. He knows who is best for you. It's okay if you lose some friends along the way. It's okay if you lose some family members along the way. Jesus said, who is my family? It was his own mother knocking at the door. And so everyone else, knowing how things should happen, knowing properly, they ran to him and said, Jesus, your mother is at the door. Do what everyone else does when their mother knocks. Jesus said, who is my mother? He said, this is my family. So I've got to let God decide that. Got to let God decide that. Chooses your betrayer. Chooses your friend. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm going to go back to it because he allowed me to go back to it. He chooses your family. Hear me and hear me well. Stop hating your family. Do you hear me this Sunday? Get it out of you. Get it out. Go down in prayer. You got to get that out of you. Because if you hate your family, then you hate the God who gave you that very family. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Get it out of you. It's going to spoil you. It's going to blind you to who the real betrayer is. You got to get it out of you. The love of God first begins at home. Get it out of you. That's not the real betrayer. That's not the one who's really going to do you in. So when you pray tonight, pray that prayer. Lord, get it out of me. I'm tired of hating them. I'm tired of fighting them. Get it out. Get it out of me. Get it out of me. Just get it out of me. Get it out of me so I can finally learn to sit and eat. One of the worst things that you could ever do is eat food and it have no taste in your mouth. You ever ate food that has no taste in your mouth? What do you do with it? Spit it out. I don't want that. It's a fact of the Christian walk. We all have to deal with betrayers. It's a reality of the Christian life. For each and every one of us, God has chosen a betrayer. Can't avoid it. Can't deny it. Can't go around it. The only thing you can do is just sit and eat and allow God to bring you through it. That's the joy of the shepherd's prayer. That even in the presence of my enemies, I'm finished. That's it. I'm not going to go any further. If you got it, say, I got it. I want to pray for you this Sunday. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for me. That God help us with the betrayers in our lives. That's what I want help with. The betrayers. God, our Father, to thee we lift our heart, soul, and mind. And we commit our way this day unto you, unto your word, and unto your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Commit our way to be led by the Holy Spirit. Our prayer this Sunday, Lord, show us how to sit and eat in the company of our betrayer. Help us not to return evil for evil. Help us not to beget hatred with more hatred. Lord, as we sit and eat, even as you did with the 12, show us how to love them who despitefully use us. Show us how to be merciful to them that cast our name out as evil. So that like your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, we can gain the victory in Jesus' name. Not in our name, but in Jesus' name. Let God get glory to himself. Everybody in the church say amen. Amen. Amen again. Before we go into the communion service, I'm going to ask them to come. Prepare your heart, prepare your mind, that we can remember again his death, burial, and resurrection. God bless you, Taylor.
Amen. All right, I'm going to be reading 1 Corinthians 11, 18, and 34. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this, whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. This is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we were more discerning with regard to ourselves, we would not come under such judgment. Nevertheless, when we are judged in this way by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be finally condemned with the world. So then, my brothers and sisters, when you gather to eat, you should all eat together. Anyone who is hungry should eat something at home, so that when you meet together, it may not result in judgment. Amen. Now, Sister Courtney is coming up.
Can you hear me? Amen. Please repeat after me. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Amen. May you please bow your heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for another Communion Sunday. We thank you for allowing us here to gather here together, Lord Jesus. God, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. He died for us, Lord Jesus. We thank you for his body. We thank you for the blood that he shared, Lord Jesus. We thank you because that salvation is for us, Lord Jesus. We thank you that salvation is free, Lord Jesus. We don't have to work to get it, Lord Jesus. All we have to do is come to you and ask for acceptance of you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for repentance, Lord Jesus, that you are able to forgive us for our sins, Lord Jesus. We ask that you forgive us today, Lord Jesus. Forgive us for everything that we've done that wasn't pleasing to you, Lord Jesus. We ask that you prepare us for this communion, Lord Jesus. We ask that you humble us, Lord Jesus. Get our spirits right, Lord Jesus, that we can remember you. Anything that's not of you, Lord Jesus, we ask that you take it away. We thank you for everything that you have done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
You may be seated. We're going to do communion seated. This is my last attempt to get this message over to you. If you don't get it now, you just ain't going to get it. Because you got to learn to be able to sit and eat, even in the company of your own betrayer. Come on, let's take out this wafer. You heard the text on the very night that he was betrayed. He took bread. He broke it and he blessed it. Gave to his disciples and said, take, eat. This is my body given for you. And I say the same to all of you. Shall we eat together? Said after the same manner, he also took the cup. He told the remaining leaven, this signifies my own blood that tonight shall be given for you. And for all who believe in me through your preaching, your teaching, your life, that's how they're going to know about me. They're not here tonight at the table, but through your life, your testimony, your preaching, they'll come to know and accept me as their Savior. Jesus said, drink ye all of it. Come on, now we can stand up. Because now it's rejoicing time. Now it's celebration time. Now I've been forgiven of my sins. Now I've learned to forgive others. I've learned to forgive my betrayer. I've learned to forgive my family that hurt me, friends that forsook me. Come on, everybody. Come on, let's. Old church, put your hands together. Old church. Yes. Lord, I thank you. Thank you for another communion Sunday. Yes, yes, I'm glad. Glad to be in the number. Yes, Lord, one more time. Lord, I thank you. Thank you for my real family. Thank you for my real brothers, my real sisters. Thank you for my spiritual mothers and my spiritual fathers. Yes, Lord, I thank you. You brought me through. Somehow, some kind of way, the Lord has kept me. The Lord has brought me. Not only me, but he's kept my family. Oh, bless his name forever. Come on, if you got something to praise the Lord for, church is over, but let's go out rejoicing. Let's go out praising God. Let's go out giving him the glory. Lord, I thank you. Thank you for how you brought me. Thank you for how you kept me. Thank you for how you're keeping me right now. I even thank you for my betrayer. Thank you for my enemies that are all around me. Thank you for showing me how to sit and eat at the Lord's table. Oh, my soul, my soul, my soul, my soul rejoices in thee, O Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Boy, I get joy. Joy, 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 joy. God bless you, Taylor. The Lord be with you. Keep you. Cause his face to shine down upon you. And by his own countenance, give you peace. God bless you, Taylor.
Before we go, if anyone desires prayer, if anyone desires prayer, it would be remiss of us to depart this great company of faith and not pray for you. You're here this Sunday. For whatever the reason, whatever the cause, say, come, let the elders pray for you. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Spirit of the living God, He's your Son. He belongs to you. With His hands uplifted to God, gives His life to you. And so, Father, we pray for Him this Sunday. Pray that Your will would be done in His life. Pray that every door be open unto Him. Lord, and we thank You for the shut doors. We thank You for even the betrayers and even the enemies that may set their heart and their devices to come against Him. But all we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus, that You would raise up a standard against the enemy. Stop and thwart every plan of evil, every plan of deception and destruction, and raise up Your Son. Cause Him to become a mighty man of God. Use Him for Your own glory, for the upbuilding of Your own kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, Bryce. God bless you. What a great joy. What a great joy. You made it somehow, some kind of way. Father, in the name of Jesus, her being here is a miracle itself. In spite of what the enemy has tried, in spite of what the enemy has planned, the power of God prevails. And so we thank You for Your keeping power. Thank You that Your arm is not short, whereby You are no longer able to save, keep, and hold up. We thank You for Sister Marcia. We thank You for the cornerstone she has been in her family. Don't allow her hopes and dreams to die. But everything that she has committed to Your hand, give it to her. Do it unto her according to Your word. Father, I pray now that You would renew her strength. Pray that You would give back the years stolen by the cankerworm and the palmer worm and everything that has come against her to sap her strength, to sap her joy, to sap her faith in You. But don't let the devil have the last laugh. God, she's a living miracle. Calls her to see and enjoy everything she's ever committed to Your hand, both in her life and in the life of her family. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 God bless you, Sister Marcia. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank You for Sister Tina. Thank You for her life, how she has so willingly and freely given it unto You. Father, You know her heart. It is neither hid nor far from You. God, I pray that You would give her a blessing. Pray that You would continue to change her life in such a way that would give You more and more glory. Thank You for the light and witness that she is
Thank you for all the lives that she has touched. And Holy Spirit, we pray now that you would give her a touch. Begin to restore her again with vitality, strength, joy, and love. This is our prayer. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 In the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name, Spirit of the living God, fall fresh now. Spirit of the living God, equip her with a fresh anointing from the crown of her head down to the soles of her feet. Cause her to be energized by your presence and your power. Father, I pray that your word would begin to come alive in her life. Father, begin to show her things that you will accomplish through your spirit and by your might, but yet through her hands. You said those that have suffered much love much. So cause your love to abound more and more, over and over, in both her heart and in her life. Jesus' name, for his sake and glory. Amen. Anyone else desire prayer before we go? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for this body and this frame. We thank you for this heart and for this life. We thank you for the healing of his body, the restoration of his health. And Father, we pray now that by your power, let him fulfill your destiny for his life. He can do it with your help. He can do it with your power. So we just ask now, in faith, in confidence, to strengthen him, encourage him, allow him to walk and not grow weary. Return running to his feet and don't allow him to faint. But Spirit of the living God, give him wings of an eagle and let him soar into the things of God. This is our prayer. We ask it in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. God bless you, Brother Norm. Is there anyone else that desires prayer before we depart? As always, thank you for your great faithfulness. Thank you for your attention. Thank you for your attendance. Now, we are dismissed. Now, oh my goodness, Keisha, keep at us. I'm trying to get out. Look. All right, let's give our offering. And if I don't come out, y'all leave. Just walk out. Just all right, Pastor, we out. We had enough. But thank you in advance for your liberality and giving. God bless you, Taylor.
Amen. Good morning, Taylor Tabernacle family and friends. At this time, we will gather to worship through our giving. This morning, you may give through one of four ways. Online giving through our website, Venmo, or also by U.S. Postal Mail. To give by text message, text the code TAYLOR61 to the phone number 73256. You will receive a link and instructions. to give through our website, please go to taylortabernacle.com/giving and follow the instructions. To give by U.S. mail, please send a check or money order to Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, PA 19139. Through Venmo at Taylor-Tabernacle-6309. And for those of us who are gathered in the sanctuary today, you will find two offering baskets to my right at the side ramp door, and you may place your tithe offering and special offering for our preacher. Please place it in sealed envelopes in the basket. And to give to our pastor, please use Cash App or Venmo. His Cash App is $ Pastor Jonathan Ford and Venmo at Jonathan-Ford-25. And as always, we thank you for your continued support of our ministry. Now we will have our announcement.
The pastor and leadership team would like to thank you for joining us this Sunday. Our live stream service will continue via Facebook and YouTube Live so that you may continue to join us in worship from your home. Remember to hit subscribe right on the YouTube page or follow us on Facebook at Taylor Tabernacle, so that you are informed and up to date with all of our upcoming gatherings and dates. If you are not receiving our weekly emails, please send us your new email address and we will add you to the list. Every first Sunday, we will gather at 8:30 in person for corporate prayer, followed by morning worship at 10 a.m. Wednesday nights are prayer and Bible study at 7 p.m. via Google Meet. Sunday school from 8:30 to 9 a.m. via Google Meets every second, third, fourth, and fifth Sunday. Remember Pastor's YLE challenge. Soil to the Sanctuary Farmers Market, August 10th, partnered by Taylor Tabernacle, The Garden at Turning the Tide, and Bible Union Fellowship Church, will be from 12 p.m. through 4 p.m. at 6049 Pine Street, Philadelphia, PA 19143, large open garage.
Amen. Sometimes we can't rush God. We give him full access to do whatever he wants, and sometimes that might take a minute. But there are two more announcements that I wanted to add. And we've been talking about the coming harvest to Philly, but Jesus Week Philly is coming. So a couple of events on that Sunday, Saturday, July 20th, there's a community fair at Sherwood Park, which is at 57th in Baltimore. And the fair is from 12 to 4. We're going to have a table, be out there doing outreach, which is going to be available for those that might have questions about Christ, interested in joining our church. We'll have church information, et cetera. So if you're available to join us that day, all are welcome. And then on Sunday, July 21st, immediately following service, probably approximately 11:30 to 1:30, we're going to also have a table set right outside. We're going to have prayer available. And then I'm hoping to have some teams that we could hit the streets and witness to those that we encounter. So I'm just asking that everyone be prayerful, to just pray for these efforts. We want to see our church grow, but how is that going to happen unless we get to work? We get out there, we hit the streets. Many times we want to see a change in our neighborhood, but that's not going to happen unless we do something about it in addition to prayer. So if you are available, please let me know if you're available to stay on the 21st because I'm forming teams. So hopefully we can have a team going north, a team going south, and then also a team at the table. And then also a team can be working in the garden because we want to get back active. This is an active ministry. So let's get our strength now for everything that's coming. And then also the market is set up out back. So Sister Lynn told us that we have fresh produce out there. The table's ready for us. So after church, go right outside. You can get your produce. And then also take some extra. If you have neighbors, you know, a lot of times they have extra produce that they're looking to give away. So feel free to take extra. Give them to your neighbors. Give them to your Judas. Give them to your betrayal. Because we got to forgive them and love them, right? Amen? Amen. So at this time, if you stand for the benediction, I don't know if our pastor's coming back out for the benediction. I think he's done. All hearts and minds are clear. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you for the word that went forth, God. And help us to not focus on those that might betray us, but help us to focus on you instead and to build our faith and get busy in working out what you have given us to do. God, we thank you, God, for all that you're doing and all that you have in the midst and all that you will do. And we ask that you'll keep and protect us always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.